One letter from Sargon chastises an official who suggested that the royal correspondence be set out in Aramaic on parchment or papyrus, rather than using the traditional cuneiform tablets. Sargon's response includes the statement, "Why would you not write and send me messages in Akkadian?" Really, the message which you must write it in must be drawn up in this very manner. This is a fixed regulation. Now remember, the king himself was very rarely literate, that he was depending on his large force of group of scribes and translators to maintain this communication, and they certainly would have preferred to use Aramaean, which was a much easier script to use than cuneiform with its thousands and thousands of symbols and its unwieldy clay tablets. So you can imagine that the force of technology then as now was driving this move towards Aramaean from cuneiform. There were numerous revolts in the period after Tiglath-Pileser's death, and in the brief rule of his immediate successor suggests that there was once again a period in which strong control was missing at the top. This confusion probably made it possible for an unknown leader to take control, or that Sargon, who would become the king, benefited from the situation. Like his Akkadian namesake 1,500 years earlier, this Sargon, who ruled from 721 to 705 BC, was likely a usurper to the throne. He never sets out his ancestry in his documents or inscriptions, and since it was normal for a ruler to promote his legitimacy, to say that he was succeeding from his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, etc., this gap makes us wonder if there was some irregularity in Sargon's claim. Sargon led his army out on annual campaigns for most of his rule, and he seems to have been personally involved in these campaigns. We'll spend most of our time considering the events in Babylon and in the West, because these were areas that were really essential to maintaining the Assyrian Empire as we have come to know it. In 720 BC, shortly after Sargon became king, a Chaldean, Marduk-apla-iddina II, named himself an independent ruler of Babylonia with the support of the Elamites in Iran. The Assyrian campaign is described in three different sources, and each one reported a different outcome. Sargon claimed complete victory. Marduk-apla-iddina II of Babylon described his crushing defeat of Sargon. And the Babylonian Chronicle, which recorded events in Babylon from 750 to 240 BC, noted that the Elamites repelled the Assyrians even before the Babylonians appeared. Which one of these do we take as a true representation of the facts? Probably the last, that the Elamites took on the Assyrians. It seems unlikely that Marduk-apla-iddina II commanded a powerful enough force on his own to challenge Sargon and walk away the victor. But it's a bit like a children's birthday party where everyone's a winner. As we know, some win more than others. Sargon had to reestablish control in the West, as often occurred when the provinces learned that a ruler's attention was focused elsewhere. They took the opportunity to revolt. Sargon put down the revolts and even expanded the borders of Assyria to the northern border of Egypt. And there he established an Assyrian garrison of soldiers. That's an unusually strong indication that the Assyrians were maintaining dominance in an area. By now, Assyria controlled all of Syria-Palestine, with the exception of Judah. One method that the Assyrians used to control such a vast empire was to transfer huge numbers of people from one part of their state to another. Sargon, for example, deported 27,290 people from Israel to northern Syria and to locations further east.